We're beginning Yeshaya, what they call the second chapter. Hadavar asher chazah Yeshayahu ben Amoz al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. The following prophecy Yeshaya saw over Judea and Jerusalem. Remember, we have 10 terms for prophecy. There's chizayon, there is mar'eh, there's nevuah. The word chazah, as we will see later in the book of Yeshaya, is the harshest term for prophecy. So he saw the following prophecy. Do we have the place?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, I see people still flipping the pages. Okay, so we're continuing. Pasuk Bet. Now, ordinarily the term chazah is a vision of difficult prophecy. Chazal tell us every prophet that chastised the Jewish people used the same terminology to heal them. So if the Navi Yeshayahu began his prophecy with Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, a vision in which he described our destruction, he is now going to come with a vision of our healing, which will begin with the same terminology. Hadavar asher chaza Yeshayahu ben Amoz. V'haya b'acharit hayamim. It will be in the end of days, which I simply understood means the time of the Mashiach. Rashi says la'achar she'ichlu ha'posha'im, and here we have to wonder if Rashi didn't say something more than that the censor changed. I learned Yeshayahu in the Hesder Yeshiva, so I brought my unedited Yeshayahu over there. But if I remember, I'll try to check this. The Keter edition, Bar Ilan University put out an edition which is supposed to fill in all the censored parts of the Rishonim, Rashi among them. So at the end of days, what will be, and Rashi says the end of days is when the rebellious ones will cease, which sometimes Rashi wrote something different. Sometimes he wrote about Christianity and the censor switched it. So, Nachon yiyeh hal beit Adonai b'rosh harim v'nisa migevaot. The mountain of the house of Hashem will be firmly established above all mountains. Har Beit Hashem, that's the mountain upon which the Beis HaMikdash will rest, will be considered the most important of mountains. V'naharu Eilav kol hagoyim, and all the nations will come towards it. Now the word Naharu has multiple meanings. The simple understanding is it's like the word Nahar, like a stream, that everyone will flow towards it. A deeper understanding is Naharu could mean in Aramaic, Nahar is light, right? So they will be enlightened through it, all the nations. Where we will find time and again throughout the prophets, and especially in Yeshaya, a description of Harim and Gevaot, mountains and hilltops. Chazal tell us that mountains are a reference to the Avot, and hilltops are a reference to the Imahot. My beloved is coming, dancing over the mountaintops, skipping through the hilltops. Chazal say, "Medaleg al harim bizchut harim, bizchut avot, mekapetz al gvaot, bizchut gvaot." The merit of the matriarchs. So, whenever you see this code in the Navi, you have to ask yourself: is there a hidden message here, a reference to the patriarchs and the matriarchs, to their merits? Vehalechu amim rabim. Ve'amiru lechu v'na'ale el har Adonai el beit Elohei Yaakov v'yoreinu midrachav v'neilecha be'orechotav. And the Navi says, they will go, amim rabim. The simple reading, amim rabim, means many nations. Sometimes the word rav means great nations. Ve'amiru, and they will say, lechu, let us go. V'na'ale el har Hashem, and we will ascend to the mountain of Hashem, el beit Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. V'yoreinu midirachav, let him teach us. What is the word midirachav? So one understanding is from his ways. Why don't they want to learn all his ways? So another understanding is madirachav. The word midirachav means he will teach us what are his ways. Notice there is derech and orach. The Gra in Mishlei discusses the two types of paths there are within Judaism. There's the broad path that fits for everyone. There's the thin path that each individual has to find within that. We don't all have the same path within Judaism. And we've discussed this even in the Drasha Saran, that there is room. Like the Ran developed the idea that not everything's about learning Torah. People think if I'm not a giant in Torah, then I'm nothing. No, so the Ran showed, as we've been learning in the Drasha Saran, sometimes you could have a tremendous tzaddik, and he quoted the Gemara in Brachos, Rachmana Liba Boy. Hashem says, I want to know what's in your heart. You could be a huge tzaddik. It's not only a Hasidic idea. When we learned that in the Ran, we opened up a Shulchan Aruch, and we saw that this idea is spelled out also in Shulchan Aruch. So there's the Derech, and there's the Orach. There are different types of path. There's the general path for Am Yisrael, and then within that, there's the specific paths for each and every individual. And that can be connected to another Gra, that the Gra says that in ancient times, the Navi used to be a personal coach. People would come to the Navi, and he would discuss with them what their personal path in Avodas Hashem would be, because our paths are not synonymous. Our strengths are not identical, so our paths are not identical. So the Navi says, the people will say, let us ascend to the mountain of Hashem. He will teach us His ways and His paths. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Adonai nirushalayim. Because the true Torah is what comes out of Zion. No other Torah is like it. And we've discussed many times that there are many factors that affect the truth. There are many factors that affect a person's spiritual capacity to attain the truth. There's the person himself. There is the time. Shabbos is a time when a person can attain greater spirituality. The Aser Shimei Tshuva are a time when a person can attain greater spirituality. There is the surroundings. When a person is in a minyan, he could have greater kavana, he could have his tefillah better accepted. A person's in a yeshiva, there are places where a person can attain greater heights. And finally, there is the place. So it's not only about the person, it's not only about what he's learning, it's not only about his location and his friends, it's about the place. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Zion is the place where Torah comes out of. The true words of Hashem come out of Yerushalayim. And this pasuk was a source of a huge machlokas in the times of the Gaonim. There was a halachic machlokas about how the calendar should work. And the Gaonim in Israel said one way, and the Gaonim in Babylon said another way. And the final ruling was, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The ruling of Jerusalem is what takes hold. But we know that halachically we don't really do that when it comes to the Babylonian or Jerusalem Talmud. We go with the Rif at the end of the first parak of Erevin, where the Rif writes that the Babylonian Talmud overrules the Jerusalem Talmud, because the compilers of the Babylonian Talmud lived later and they saw the Jerusalem Talmud, and if they chose to disagree with it, then we go with their opinion. The Rambam says the Gra disagrees with that, but we generally go with that understanding that the Bavli wins. So okay, whatever. But the idea is still an important idea. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Yes.
Don't we in general go you can't argue with what came before. So the fact that we're saying they saw the Yerushalmi and they chose, it goes against everything we do elsewhere.
No, because they were close enough that they could argue. The same Rabbi Yochanan who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud is also quoted in the Babylonian Talmud. So the rabbis of the Babylonian Talmud could disagree with their predecessors. It was still within that realm. They were all Amoraim, yes.
Is there an idea the importance of the Jerusalem Talmud will come back?
Don't know. You have to ask the people who know what will be when the times will come, and I'm not one of them.
I thought there were some sources of that.
I know people say that, but I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't hear you right. I heard you say that. The Rambam
is quoted by the Gra. The Gra says that it is the Rambam's way to go with the Jerusalem Talmud. That is the Darko Shel Rambam, which also needs work. But okay, Pasuk Dalit. V'shafat be'en agoyim ve'ochiach le'amim rabim. V'shafat. What does the word v'shafat mean? So the simple reading is he will judge. The word v'shafat can mean he will punish. But Bein HaGoyim, amongst the nations, certainly seems to indicate that he will be the judge. They will want someone to rule what is fair, what is just, and he will be the judge. We're talking about the Mashiach. He will be the judge. He will rule among the nations. V'chitetu chalvotam le'itim. And they will break their instruments of war, their swords. They will break them into itim, into shovels. V'chanitotehem le'mazmerot. Their spears will become shears. Lo yisa goy el goy cheriv. V'lo ilmedu od milchama. Nations will no longer raise a sword towards one another, and they will no longer train at war, because they will have a judge. They won't have to fight their wars. They will have a judge who will rule justly. So the Navi describes a time when things will be so good here that all the nations will say, ah, let us go to the light of Jerusalem. Beit Yaakov lechu v'nei lecha be'or Adonai. So the Navi turns to them and he says, if this is the way it's going to be, if ultimately the world will come to recognition that this is what's right, so then certainly we should go in the light of Hashem, in the light of the Torah. Ki natashta ammecha beit Yaakov, because you have forsaken. The Navi turns to Hashem and he says, until now you have forsaken your people because, well, they deserve it. Why? Ki malleu mikedem ve'oninim kapelishtim, because they've filled themselves with sorcery and witchcraft more than the early generations, mikedem, the early generations that were constantly pursuing witchcraft. So Israel's is more filled with sorcerers and warlocks than they were back then. Ve'oninim, that's a different type of kishuf, kapelishtim, like the Philistines. Uvialdei nochim yaspiku. What does yaldei nochim yaspiku? So here there are many interpretations in Chazal. So the simple reading is they suffice with having Gentile children. Uvialdei nochim yaspiku. They're taking non-Jewish women, and they're sleeping with them, they're having children from them, and they figure that's enough. They're not even working on finding a good Jewish girl. They're happy with that. So that's the simple reading. Uvialdei nochim yaspiku. And with non-Jewish children, they are satisfied. Another understanding is, uvialdei nochim is not talking about the children, it's talking about the society, the social norms. They have allowed themselves to take on the Gentile customs, the Gentile form of society, and they're happy with it. They've westernized themselves. Uvialdei nochim yaspiku. Third interpretation is, it's talking about their thoughts, their philosophies. They're not interested in the way of the Torah because they're perfectly content going with Western theology. So that's different interpretations. Chazal give us more interpretations in this pasuk. But okay. Vatimalei alzo kesef v'zahav vein keitzel le'otzerotav. And this nation has been given so much silver and gold, there's no limit to their storage houses. Vatimalei alzo susim vein keitzel le'malkevotav. They have so many horses, there's no count, there's no limit to the number of chariots they have. So Hashem gave them all this plenty. What's the next step? Their land was filled with idols. They bow to the handiwork of their own hands. They bow to that which their own fingers formed. Vayishachadam, vayishpal ish, ve'altisa lahem. Vayishachadam, and the human beings bent themselves down. They were doubled over. Vayishpal ish, and people were prostrate. That's the word, yes. Ve'altisa lahem. And I know that you won't forgive this sin, says the Navi. I know that you won't forgive them, and there will be a payback. And that payback will be a time of destruction. People will look to hide within a rock. People will look to conceal themselves in the earth. People will say, things are terrible, where can we hide? And someone once said that these psukim seem to describe a nuclear war. Who said that? I don't remember. Someone said that. Where people, or chemical war, people look for where to hide and there's nowhere to go. Bovatsuvi tamin be'afal, try to find yourself a place in a rock to hide yourself in the earth. From the fear of Hashem, from the awe of His glory, there's no place to hide. God will lower the haughty eyes when Hashem brings justice to the world, so then the height of man will be lowered. And on that day Hashem alone will remain. Machlokas Rishonim, what does that mean? Does that mean the world will be completely destroyed? Or, as the simple reading, does it mean that all haughtiness will be put down, and the only one that will be left exalted is Hashem? Doesn't mean He alone will remain alive. Even though the literal translation is that. Ki yom l'Adonai tzevaot al kol ge'eh v'ram. For Hashem has a day in which He will take on all those that are haughty and proud, ve'al kol nisah v'shafel, and all those that were elevated will find themselves lowered. And now the Navi starts describing, and he describes in metaphoric terms who are those that are raised, and these are terms, each one is referring to different types of politicians, the king, the nobles, the judges. So the Navi just takes a bunch of high things. He talks about mountains and trees, and really he's describing the different levels of the politicians. So he says, all those that are haughty will be subdued. Who are we talking about? The cedar trees of Lebanon that are so elevated, and the alon trees that grow in the Bashan, and on all the elevated mountains, and all the hilltops that are raised, all of them will be judged. And Hashem will judge all the people who live in high towers and who have fortification. And all these different people have confidence that their mountain will save them, being on an elevated platform will save them, being in a fortified city will save them. Hashem says, all of that's coming down. People used to have boats out in Tarshish. It's like the Russian government brought their ships out to Syria, right? So, you know, they say the American government has submarines next to many embassies. That's why embassies are always next to the sea, the Tel Aviv embassy too. They say that's because they always got to be able to get their people out. So we won't discuss all the spying they're doing on us, right? But at any rate, so this is an ancient trick. There were many people, we find in the times of Shoftim as well, that the nobles had their stocks and ships. And that's why they were very confident that whatever happens, I'm okay, worst comes to worst, I have my bars of gold and I just hop on the ship and I'm out of here, it's their problem. So this was happening in World War II also. There's an interesting story about that. There was a wealthy person, who knows what was the last island that all the fighting was going on. That's what?
Okinawa?
The final island where McCarthy and the Japanese met and spent about 2 years fighting over that island.
Okinawa.
It was Okinawa? I don't think so. I think there was another name. I don't think it was Okinawa. There was a little island in the middle of the Pacific where they were really...
What?
What
are you talking about?
The Japanese were going island hopping. They were conquering island by island. And at some point, the American Navy went out to meet them. And at some point, there was one island where they met. And that's where all the battle took place. They spent about a year just destroying the island, shooting back and forth. I don't remember the name of the island. But if you want to know the history of that island, there was one very wealthy person in Europe who said, I'm not going to have anything to do with this war. I'm not interested. I want peace and quiet. And he went and bought that island. And that's where he landed. And then he said, the whole world can be destroyed. He brought everything he needed to that island. And Hashem the luck of the draw. Hashem took care that he had no peace. That I don't know if he came out of it alive, but the whole island was destroyed because that was the meeting point of the American and Japanese forces, that island. Well, the Gemara does tell us in Tanis that when the Tzibur is suffering and a person says, Shalom Aleich Nafshi, I'm okay. Let me just go have my sunbathing and enjoy my peace and quiet. And then Hashem takes a person to task over there. A person? I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Come on. There were people who saved lives. There were people who worked. There were people who didn't sleep. Now, there were non-Jews who did beautiful things. What do you mean? There were people. I don't think it was, I don't remember. So look it up. You know, you can Google it. You'll find it. So that's on Yot Tarshish. Back in the day, so they had the Sea of Tarshish. Big discussion where that is exactly. And so Hashem says, I'll take those people to task. All those people that figure they have their ships, they're going to escape. Ve'al kol sechiyot achemda. And I will also take to task all those nobles that sit in their beautiful apartments that are coated with beautiful stone. That's Sechiyot Achemda. Sechiyot Achemda is the coating of beautiful stone. V'shach gavut ha'adam v'shafel rum anashim. The haughtiness of man, the pride of man will be lowered. V'nisgav Adonai levado bayom ahu. And on that day, Hashem alone will remain, that day of justice. And again, the multiple interpretations, notice how the Navi reiterates that idea. We'll pick up here, B'zachem, next week.